Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
I'm Via Williams.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazian. And today we're going to talk about how the four of us won the pandemic. Well, no, not really. But if you'll recall, a couple of weeks into the pandemic, Via announced that she was declaratively going to win the pandemic. And I think we all kind of jumped on her bandwagon.
We did.
Okay, well, what I actually say, the real quote was, I said, this is what I know. This is my first ever global pandemic and I am going to win it.
That's true. And well, then we decided that instead of it being a pandemic, it was going to be a windemic.
That's right.
If I remember.
That was Wendy.
That was good.
It's a windemic. I love that we all get credit for Wendy's wordsmithing.
I do. Yeah. It's great.
Yay.
Yes. Well, and although we haven't received anything official from anyone of importance.
It's coming.
I do believe that the four of us in our own special ways have won the pandemic.
That's
and
right.
So absolutely. Today, we're going to be talking about lessons learned from the pandemic, lessons learned from the year, and I hope you guys will really enjoy it. So my first lesson learned is pan perdu. Do you guys know what that is?
No.
I do from French class.
Okay, tell us. What is it?
So if I'm remembering correctly, pan perdu is meaning like bread that was lost, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And it's actually, I love pain perdu because it's what you make of like leftover bread. And so one of my favorite things is actually like a stale baguette can be turned into the most amazing French toast.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so pain perdu is actually what you take over like the spoils or leftovers or things that normally would be seen by somebody else as bad, but you turn it into something delicious and amazing.
Yes. So very good, Seychelle.
I love that.
You totally get a gold star.
Wow.
And my French minor paying off. Finally. Well,
You had a French minor. Wow.
I know.
Well, and Jay is a French major. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. No.
Yeah. And Jay lived in France for 3 years.
He did.
Wow.
Yeah. One of many interesting things about my husband.
I did not know that.
He's one of the most interesting.
But he told me about
pain
perdu. And so when we were thinking about things to talk about and lessons learned, I thought about pain perdu because what we did this year was we took something that was lost, what we thought was lost, and we turned it into something that was quite delicious. Mm. And so I just love that metaphor of taking something that feels hopeless and really turning it around and creating success out of it. So that's really my first lesson.
I think that's such a beautiful visualization.
Wow.
Yeah. One of my lessons was similar to that, Wendy, but I think you said it better. Mine was your best laid plans are just that. They're plans. And those are in the future, right? Plans are in the future. And when the current environment or situation changes, you must change too. And I love that you're talking about the pain perdu with that because, you know, it's all about, right? You have to then do something with the spoiled bread, if you will, until, you know, before it really goes bad. And so you have to change fast and you have to do it with firm resolve and decide what you're going to make of it. And, you know, the ending of my lesson with that is you're so much more capable than you realize.
So good.
I love that.
So my lesson is both business and personal. So my number one lesson was how much I was saying yes to things that I didn't need to be saying yes to. One of the things that this pandemic has done is really simplified a lot of our lives. In particular, I was traveling about every 6 weeks. Mm. So, and when I was traveling, I was away from my family. I was away from my team family. And just how much time I've been able to spend with my family and with my team family through this pandemic has just been a really big lesson. Now, as you know, some were traveling a little bit now, not a lot, but I am thinking about it longer. I'm taking more time before I say yes to something. But how many things that we were saying yes to that we really did not need to be saying yes to because it was actually stealing from the things that matter most. Mm. And for us, what matters most is our family and our team family and our business. So that was a big lesson for me.
Love that.
That's beautiful.
Well, you know, I love that, Sarah, and it's such a good transition to my number one lesson, and I can see mine kind of woven into that a little bit.
And mine is going to sound really basic, but priorities come before reactions. And I think that where that came from was chaos requires you to take action, but not to be reactionary. And so how you can do that is that you can be constantly doing what I call triage into what is my priority here? What am I accountable to? What am I ultimately trying to do? What's the outcome I want? You know, what is the priority in this situation? And it's caused me to be very much more laser focused on priorities really in any area that I want to do, which I think kind of plays into that, Sarah, like what you were talking about a little bit. You know, it just, it's really about getting crystal clear and simplifying what's important, what you're trying to accomplish in, you know, a situation, and then saying no to everything else, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So I guess I'm up for lesson number two. And I think for me, lesson number two is to be grateful for the small things. It's a practice that I've had for a long time. And really, this pandemic made me so grateful for my family, my home, my job, the ability to help other people who needed help during the pandemic. And so, yeah, so that's my lesson number two is if you wake up every day and you're grateful for the small things, then nothing else really matters.
Yeah.
So true. Yep.
I love that.
That's awesome. My number two was don't wait to do the things you've always wanted to do. And be unapologetic on living the life that you want to live, right? I mean, that's why we're doing this podcast. This came about this year. I mean, it's been a huge blessing in my life and us, you know, we've now been up in Michigan almost 4 months, getting ready to come back to Texas. I never would
tell us that story, Seychelles.
Yeah, I mean, we flip homes in Dallas where we live and had a rental that we ended up flipping and selling to one of our really dear friends and a team member of ours. And we had proceeds that we had to figure out what we were going to do with. And in any normal year, we would just turn around and buy another rental property. Honestly, that's what we do. That's what we've always done. And we'd had this vision board up in our bathroom forever. And the one picture that I kept moving from year to year to year to year to year, and I'd always just cut it out and move it, was a lake house, because Nick is from Northern Michigan and, you know, really wanted to be near fresh water. And this year we kind of looked at each other and said, you know, you've always wanted to have this. You've always wanted to do this. The proceeds from this would allow us to make that happen. Why don't we just go? Let's go. Let's go do it. And it's been life-changing. I never, ever thought we could pull this off. I never thought we'd be able to do it. And, you know, I would say that for all of you out there that maybe have things in your life that you move from day to day or week to week or year to year, maybe now is the time to take a look at it and say, why not make a plan to make it happen? Because it's your life.
Yeah.
And well, I love that. You get one.
And I think the other lesson there is to be ready when opportunities arise.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, Wendy.
Yes. Yep. And jump. Yeah.
Yeah. And that life can change at any moment, right? No one knew January 1, 2020 that what would be in store.
Yes.
And so I think like jumping on things when they're there and not wasting time, you know, and not just waiting and waiting and keep moving your vision board. That's an awesome lesson. I love that say.
And we could have made all the excuses too. Like we could have said, well, we're having to completely rebuild our team this year, which we're doing. Well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Quinn's school in fall. Well, we can't do it because of this. We can't do it with that. And, you know, I think it's, you guys are so spot on being able to adapt and adjust and take advantage of the opportunity when it comes. It's huge.
Yep.
And it's never, like Sarita said in one of our episodes, right? It's never too late to live your best life.
Yes.
So what are you going to do with yours?
I love that. I love that. My second lesson is you can solve any business problem by picking up the phone more.
I love that one of yours.
Right. Yeah. Sarah's calling.
I always pick up the phone when Sarah calls. Because you know it's going to be good.
I remember the first week, my first team meeting when the pandemic hit. And I got on. I knew that my job that day was super important because I was speaking to my team. It felt like almost like state of the union to the country, you know. But to my little country, that's what it felt like. And they needed to hear from me. Yeah. And so I just looked them right on the computer. We were all online and I said, I don't know what I'm doing. this pandemic is the first ever that I'm going to lead a business through. I'm scared too. Like I'm all the emotions that you guys feel, I'm feeling them too. But what I do know is that our community needs us, our clients need us. And I do know that every problem can be solved by picking up the phone. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick up the phone more. And we built a pretty, we already did a lot of calling before, but even at a more high level, all of our agents were online together making calls. I got in there and I was making calls and booking appointments and handling objections. And thankfully, my business, we didn't have a dip. A lot of it had to do with us getting on the phone quickly. And speed of the leader, speed of the pack. So making sure you're fast. To adjust to picking up the phone. So if you're listening right now and you're struggling, your business is struggling, pick up the phone.
Well, I love that. And you know what else it reminds me of, Sarah? And it's not necessarily what I'm about to say isn't one of my top three lessons. I would say it's a mantra. I'd already learned the lesson. And it's you always boil down to focusing on what you can control.
Yes.
And and so to me, you know, at the end of the day, it's sort of like going back to the priorities, like, you know, it's a mantra this year. Okay, yes. What can I control in this situation? What's the one thing I can do to control this and move the needle forward or do what I need to do? And I love, you know, getting on the phones is almost always the answer to that in a sales or, you know, customer service type of organization.
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
And it's so great, even if you know it and it's been something you've learned before, I still get surprised by my own things that you know. And then, it actually worked. Like, what? Yes.
Yeah, I love you. $14 million in GCI. She's like, what? Calling
it's so good. And in our world, for all of you listeners who aren't in real estate, when we say GCI, that's really top line revenue. Sarah has just an incredibly impressive business.
I think we're going to hit 15, which is just insane, which was not even the plan. Man, I'm blown away by my team right now. Oh my goodness.
I'm blown away by you and your team. And the more I meet your team, it's very impressive. You have amazing people.
I do.
People.
Yeah, they're special.
Okay, so my number two lesson that I got really early on in this is that the loud is not necessarily the majority. So I do, you know, everyone's a different type of an empire builder, both here and in our listenership. And in my world, you know, I lead a lot of people. We have an organization with, you know, about 1,500 real estate agents. And then layered on top of that, I'm in a mortgage title escrow entity. I'm involved in about 11 entities. And so I had to learn that it was imperative to kind of control my pacing and the timing of organizational decisions so that I could get enough input from multiple stakeholders. Because what I learned is at first my knee-jerk reaction was someone was loud and in my face and I was making a reactionary decision, which kind of goes into my number one, but I was making a reactionary decision based on a loud voice. And I had to learn that there were other voices that might have represented more people in my organization who weren't necessarily speaking up because they were head down working, focused over here. So I might have had to go out of my way to seek that out. And that may or may not be a takeaway for a lot of people. But I think if you do take anything away, it's as a leader, no matter what kind of a leader you are, even as a parent, you know, take the time, pace yourself out. I'll just tell you right now, I'll cut into my number three. Their emergency does not have to be your emergency, which is my number three lesson. But, you know, there you go. I spilled the beans. But you take the time
out.
They go together. Take the time to gather input, you know, from multiple people, even if it doesn't come naturally to you, so that you can make the right decision. So,
so Via, it's been awesome for me to watch this actually play out with you in terms of practical ways for our listeners to do that. Because I think all of us many times will listen to whoever's speaking, right? The most and the loudest voice. What are some practical things that you did to make sure that you were hearing from everyone in your organization, not just the loudest voices?
Gosh, thank you for asking, because it took some trial and error to actually figure out how to do that. Yeah. And it's about getting buy-in, which I work really hard on. I've also heard the term enrolling your people in a concept. But to me, it would be like, Sarah, I know, I want you to know you're heard. I am hearing you loud and clear. I understand that's what you want. I also want you to understand, I need to go talk to other people. This is going to be a process. You might be frustrated at me because we are not going to make a company call on this till probably Monday. And it's Wednesday or Thursday. And I know you want that answer today. But what I do want you to know, Sarah, is I'm going to work on it. I'm going to keep you looped in. And I'm going to keep you apprised of where we are in this, and that we will come to a decision. And no matter what the decision is, I will let you know first. And your voice was heard, even if we didn't make the decision you wanted. That's 99.9% of people, it's going to be okay. And for that 0.1%, you know, you might lose them. It's a simple way to put it.
But you know what though, in that scenario, I think most people just want to know they've been heard.
Yeah, they do.
Right. I mean, that's really, I think, you know, 80% of the time, they just want to know that somebody's considering their side or their opinion or their input. Yeah. And by making somebody feel valid and validated and heard, I think that's just a really beautiful way then to take it and set expectations on what's going to happen next. It's really awesome.
Yeah, that's so good. Love that.
So I gave my number three. So those are my top three. So I screwed up the order.
Plus you did great.
Snuck in another one.
I know.
Yeah. Multiple, actually.
Multiple. That's what we were talking about. Many lessons this year. Yeah. So many lessons.
Leave it to me to screw up the framework.
Well, my number three was to have an amazing relationship with your database and your clients. And we do have a great relationship with our database. We're 86% business by referral. And so I saw this play out where we were reaching out to the people that mean the most to our business and having everyday conversations with them. And it wasn't weird or uncomfortable. And I also saw it in lots of other industries. So restaurants that had relationships with their customer base, who had an email list. You know, I think about your dressmaker, Seychelle, who pivoted and made those masks. And just your relationship with her was really powerful. And she probably got a lot of mask sales out of it because you're such a good advocate for her. And so just a reminder, in times of crisis, it's good to know who your people are. And having an ongoing relationship with them is probably one of the most powerful ways to grow your business.
Well, that's perfect. And you segued into mine, which is no one succeeds alone. And we have to give thanks and give grace for the people in our lives, especially this year, and know that everybody is likely doing everything that they can, the best that they can each day. And some days that shows up amazing and some days it doesn't. And so, you know, I really came to this realization this year on a personal note. I think Wendy handled the business side really well, and I completely agree with her on that. And on the personal side, I had to come to the realization that not everybody is going to do the marathon of life with you. They might just do a couple laps of a sprint, and that's okay. And so really learning to, you know, in a previous episode, we did how to evaluate your team members or employees with the green, yellow, and brown. And I had to learn how to do that with people in my life that I was allowing to either give me energy or take energy and ask, you know, am I getting energy from this relationship? Is this something where I can move a ball forward or help? Or is this something that is completely sucking my energy? And maybe I need to become at peace with letting this relationship maybe turn into a different priority than it's been in the past.
One of my favorite thought leaders is Naval Ravikant, and he has a quote, an expression, a philosophy that I love, and it's play long-term games with long-term people.
Love that.
It's so perfect. I had to interject in there because we have to look for people who will ride the marathon with us, you know, no one's going to be here forever, but through a long season, the longest season you can get.
Right. And I think because I have a natural bend towards seeing things in the long term. I mean, we've talked about that on previous podcast episodes. Like I always look at everything very like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years out, that it was hard for me to understand mentally this year and emotionally that some people just aren't going to see the relationships that way. And it made me actually become more fiercely protective of the people in my life that are willing to play the long-term game and want to be in it together. Absolutely. You know, I look at some of our team members that have 100%. Been with us like 11, 14, 18 years.
Yes. Right?
I mean, holy cow, how do we double down on that? And how do we nurture more relationships like that?
We look for
with
that.
The people that want to go with us. Yeah.
I love that.
So yeah, that was a painful and important lesson that I needed to learn this year. And it was good. It was good. Mm-hmm.
People have cycles and patterns too. You can look at those cycles and patterns. Yes. Do they have long-term relationships? That's a good hiring lesson too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Love that.
My third, and I last now?
I guess you know, it's all
Oscar. Do you want to add a sixth?
I just put another bonus.
Another bonus.
Okay. The hurricane came in.
Yeah, the hurricane came in, dropped a bomb. We have to get copyright now.
I know they're gonna edit us.
My last lesson, which is really also I think a mix in of bonuses too, but is leadership and communication goes hand in hand in a crisis. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're a good communicator to your team, to your organization, think again during a crisis. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, I thought I had the communication sort of game down in terms of my leadership with my team. And I quickly, pretty early on, I learned the power of communication more in a crisis. And so communicating to my team, not just once a day, twice a day, three times a day, then taking the communication on a personal level and making sure that we are communicating at just a high level during a crisis. Even if we don't know what to say, just the check-in, how are you? How are things going? Making sure that they know that they care. But communication for me has been one of my biggest lessons just because I thought I sort of had it down, to be honest. And then 2020 hit and I realized, wow, I have a lot of room for improvement. And I do know we did do it actually an episode which came through lesson sort of on communication. Mm-hmm. And so I would highly recommend you go back and listen to that. It's a great episode.
And we'll put the reference to that in show notes. Mm-hmm. We'll give you the episode number so you can search it up really easily.
I think that's awesome.
Yes.
Can I add one more that is more of a...
No, but what you can do, you know what you can do, Seychelle, is you told us about your darling daughter's
This
lessons.
Is one of hers.
Okay.
I was kidding, by the way. And totally kidding.
I'm gonna find Via after this episode. We'll have a chat.
Totally joking.
So I was asking Quinn, our daughter, about... She's 6 and a half, she'll tell you. I was asking her, you know, what lessons she's learned this year. And a couple of weeks ago, we've been taking advantage of, you know, what things can we do up here in Michigan that we can't necessarily do in Texas easily. We live in the city. And so she's been taking horseback riding lessons. Mm-hmm. And she was learning to trot. And I don't know where she gets it, but she's rather headstrong. Mm-hmm. And she had a new teacher. And so she convinced her new teacher that she could trot on the horse by herself, which in all like admissions, she had never done. But she convinced the teacher she'd done it by herself. And no idea where she gets that. Yeah. She's like, oh yeah, I can totally
weird.
Do that.
Weird. Fake it till she makes it.
Yeah. I was going to say, fake it till you make it, Quinn.
Yeah. So first lesson, fake it till you make it. Second lesson is...
Or until you crack your head open.
Yeah, seriously.
So she was trotting by herself because the instructor thought she could because she had a new instructor that didn't know she'd never done it by herself. And the horse bent its head down and she flipped over the front of the horse and fell to the ground. And luckily, we were wearing helmets. But she, you know, I mean, for a six-year-old, that's a huge drop. You know, it's like double your height. And she cried. Well, really, for anyone. Yeah, I would have cried.
I would have cried.
But she cried and she was angry. And she, you know, we got her out of the arena and we sat her down. And she's like, I'm never going back ever. I'm never going back. And, you know, it was one of those moments as a parent you're keenly aware of where you're like, don't screw this up.
Yeah,
and
it's a moment.
It's a moment. And I offered to walk her back out in the arena and she didn't want to go back out. And so finally she decided that not only did she not want me to walk her out there because that would make her look like a baby, but she wanted to go by herself and she got back on the horse. And the lesson that she wants to pass along to you guys is that you always got to hold on to the reins or you're going to fall off of your horse. And when you fall off, you better get back on. Mm. And if you get back on, she wants you to know that you're going to get double dessert. So that is Quinn's life lesson.
So many good lessons there.
Okay, can I just throw in... Can I throw in an awesome
like an
kid lesson?
Yes.
No, I want to throw in a kid one really quick because I love the Quinn one. So I texted my boys earlier this morning when we started talking about it. And I said, what lessons have you guys learned during COVID? So Aiden gives me this, you know, whatever. Michael drops this brilliant bomb. Do you want to know what his is?
Yes.
Of course.
Don't sleep. It was don't sleep in. So I go, well, okay, Michael, that's interesting. Tell me more. And he said, well, I mean, I could generalize that, but what I mean is you should have a rigorous sleep and waking schedule. Otherwise, you're just purposely wandering around and you'll be miserable and unproductive.
Wow.
And I was like, that's actually super brilliant right now for
I think that totally validates you as a mom. You are an incredible mother.
That's awesome.
That's not for me.
You just won the pandemic. You just won.
I know.
You just won.
Don't sleep in. I thought that was really smart.
You won the mom-demic is what you did.
The mom-demic. I won-demic the mom-demic.
Yes. That's awesome. Well, I didn't ask my kids about what their lessons learned were, but I know if I asked my 14-year-old daughter, who I'm homeschooling, she would say that one of the lessons that she's learned from the pandemic is that her mother is horrible at homeschooling. So there you go.
Leverage is important.
Amen,
and leverage is important.
Yeah. Yes. Tutors are worth every dollar that they make.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know some of you people out there can relate. So Via, do you have a couple more lessons you want to throw in? Otherwise I'll wrap.
I'm good. Via, show's over. We're good. Yes. Thank you for asking though, Wendy.
Of course. My pleasure. My pleasure. So guys, thank you so much for joining us today. I personally learned a lot. All these ladies are so smart and it's been a joy and a pleasure. Actually, to have this podcast during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a big joy.
It's been a huge gift.
Some of the lessons learned were when you're under chaos, it requires reaction, but not to be reactionary. Mm-hmm. A lot of talk about how we've had this newfound prioritization and how we need to say no to say yes to the things that matter most. Don't wait for what's important. And don't be apologetic for wanting things. Yeah. And also take advantage of opportunities when they're presented to you. Getting on the phones, right? When there's when something bad happens, get on the phone. That usually solves everything. And I like this last one. Don't sleep in. And that was Michael's, right? Not Aiden's. Mm-hmm.
Don't
sleep in because we've talked about it on this show before. Having a powerful morning routine sets you up for success. For your day, for your week, and in life. So thank you guys for joining us on another episode of Empire Building, and we hope you'll join us next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform and help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.